So, what is it that you wanted to talk to me about?
I have a Christmas wish. I want to talk to you about Christmas.
Oh, let me tell you what my father is giving me for Christmas.
No. I want the true meaning of Christmas.
Oh, I know. You mean Santa Claus.
No. You see, Christmas actually celebrates the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came down to earth from heaven to save us from our sins. What? Let's sit down here and let me tell you the story of Christmas. Over 2,000 years ago, in the days when the Romans ruled over Judea, there lived a virgin whose name was Mary. She lived in a city called Nazareth and was engaged to a carpenter whose name was Joseph. One day, God sent the angel Gabriel to visit Mary.
Hail! The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there shall be no end.
How can I conceive when I do not know any man?
You shall conceive of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, shall your child be called the Son of God. For with God, nothing shall be impossible.
Behold your servant. Be it unto me according to thy word.
One day, there was a decree from Emperor Caesar Augustus that everyone should be taxed. Each person had to go back to his own city to be taxed. So Joseph also brought his pregnant wife to his own city, the city of David, called Bethlehem. This was because Joseph was a descendant of David.
Thank you. Good sir, we have traveled afar from Nazareth. Do you have space for us tonight?
Alas, I have no more room for you both. I'm very sorry.
My wife is heavy with child, and she's tired. Please, kind sir, could you find some room for her?
Well, I have only room in the barn over there. Please, make yourselves comfortable.
Thank you, kind sir.
countryside, there were certain shepherds watching their flock at night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone around the shepherds, and the shepherds were very afraid.
Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in Bethlehem a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign for you. You will find a baby lying in a manger.
Manger lowly, 'tis God's own Son.
3 wise men from the east who were looking for the king of the Jews, for they had seen his star in the east and wanted to worship him. Herod the king was thus troubled to hear about this, and had learned from the chief priest that the prophecy stated God's anointed king would be born in Bethlehem. After the wise men heard about this from Herod, they left him. And behold, the star they had seen in the east now went before them and guided them to Jesus. Christmas wish. Do you understand the true meaning of Christmas?
Yes, I do.
Do you know that later on, Jesus gave his life for us? He died on the cross to save us from our sins. That is how much God loves us, that he gave his own son to come into this world to die for you and for me. That is the true meaning of Christmas. Now, will you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today?
Yes, I will.
As we call to the special time of The theme of the cantata was, it was love. Whose love? It was God's love. The text I'd like you to consider this evening is only one verse. I'd like to read to you that verse is John 3:16, a very familiar verse to many of us. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This world of ours was created by God perfect. But man messed up this world when man sinned against God. Because of man's sin, God had to discipline man. God had to curse man. And the woman was cursed with increased pain in childbearing, as well as being cursed with usurping the headship in every home. But the man must rule over her. And therein is the tension that we find in almost every home. And upon the curse of man, God says, "I will curse the ground, and there will be thorns and thistles that will now grow out of this ground. For before there was sin, man did not have to sweat. He did not have to work hard for him to find food that God had created for man to consume, to keep him alive. But after he has sinned, God had to discipline man to stop him from using his free time to think of evil and to commit more sin. And so God had to keep man busy by hard work. He must keep himself busy to keep body and soul together. And yet, despite all these hard work, man still find time to sin. And look at our world. Our world is full of sin and evil and immorality and wickedness. What is evil and sinful, we say it is good. What is good, we say it is evil. This is the world that the Bible says, for God so loved this world. You and I love only beautiful things. We love things that are beautiful, things that are lovely, things that are pure. We don't love our enemies. We hate our enemies. We don't love people who see us as their enemies who want to destroy us. And yet, God says, "I love this world." And we are God's enemies. God created us. And we say, God did not create us. We came into this world by chance. It is by way of evolution. We teach our children that there is no God, that we came into this world by evolution. We twist the evidence that God has designed and built into this beautiful world all around us, speaks in a language that everyone can understand, day and night, that God exists. And this God who exists is a powerful God, because God created this world out of nothing. You and I are surrounded by the evidence of creators. This pulpit did not come into existence. There was a creator. There was a designer. There was a builder. There was a craftsman. We are surrounded by designs that we know there was a creator. Even the dressing that you put on reminds us that there was a creator. How much more this world that is far greater than any design that you could ever imagine? God himself. And yet we say, God did not create me. God did not create us. We came into existence out of nothing, by accident. There was a bang. Nobody was there. We just want to erase God out of existence. And yet God says, "I love you. I love you." Why would God love a world of mankind that is so evil, that is so wicked, that hates him so much? What kind of love is this? It is a love that is unconditional. It is a love that stems only from God's heart that you and I cannot understand, because there is nothing lovely in any one of us, no exception. Doesn't matter whether you are a beggar in the street, or you are the most cleverest man on earth, or you are the most powerful man, or you are the most brilliant, or you are a king or a president. It does not matter. God sees into our hearts, and all of us are sinners through and through. And yet God says, "I love you. I love you." This was the message tonight by the young people in song as well as by their acting, by their play, to bring across the message of God's love. Because God's love was more than just a feeling and an emotion. I mean, you can say you love your wife, but you do nothing to provide for her. You do not do anything to take care of her. You think that is love. Love is all talk. Love is just a warm feeling in your heart. Your wife will not appreciate that kind of love. Your children say they love you, but they don't care for you. They don't provide for you. They know that you're in need and they can more than afford it, but they just simply ignore you and let you die all by yourself in the streets, not even in an old folks home. They don't care. And yet when you see them, they see you, they say, I love you, Dad. I love you, Mom. God's love was not just a warm feeling. Sure, it involves feeling. Love has to have feelings. But it must also be backed up by action. And for God so loved this sinful, wicked world with nothing lovely in it, for God to love. How much did He love this world? How much do you love a person? You show it by your action. And by your action, the person can measure your love, isn't it? You give half measures, that's the level of your love. If I love my wife, and I know my wife appreciates beautiful, genuine flowers, and then I buy for her some plastic, well, I love her enough to buy her plastic flowers. And then I reason, well, it is eternal. Then there's another kind of love where this man says, well, I print it out in color and I give it to my wife on paper. You know your wife loves a genuine, true, bright, living, breathing flowers. And yet you give her this kind of flowers. You think that is love? Half measures? God did not love us with half measures. God loved us, the Bible says, by giving to us His only begotten Son. Giving. That means you didn't earn it. You and I don't deserve it. It's a gift. He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus Christ was the Son of God and still is the Son of God. He is the very person of the Godhead. Always dwelling in heaven together with God. Even before there was heaven, God always existed in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God looked into this world. Who can save mankind? No mankind could. Because in order to save mankind, it must be another man. It has to be a perfect man. It has to be a man without sin. Anyone qualifies? None. Because we are all born in sin. We are conceived in sin. How do we know that? The evidence is before our very eyes, if only we want to admit it. You look at our own children. They haven't even been to school, and you can see how they exhibited very vividly and clearly selfishness. How greedy they are. How unreasonable they are. That's why the moment they are born into this world, they cry. That's why babies die. Do you know why babies die? Because they are also born in sin. That's what the Bible teaches us. We die because we have sinned. That's why we die. That is the clearest evidence. You don't have to know God's word. You don't have to be given God's word. The evidence is that if you die, you know that is a form of punishment. And why should you be punished if you have not done anything wrong? And the fact that you die, and you know you die, you have been surrounded by evidence of people who are dying. Immediately after this service, very soon, I have to attend a vigil service to conduct the vigil service of someone who has just died. And tomorrow will be the funeral. 2 weeks ago, I did the same thing to another person. We die, we're surrounded by death. Is that not clear enough in evidence? You can't save yourself by your good works. It's stained by the hands full of sin. Everything you touch is already stained by sin. Even if there is something that is beautiful and good before you, the moment you touch it, it becomes sinful because these hands are filled with sin. You know that. There is nothing good in any one of us. And that's why God says, man cannot save himself. Man's good works are as filthy rags in my sight. You think you can give your life, you think you can give all your money to build a hospital and that would be good enough for God? Then you do not know God. Then you have lowered God into your own image. God is holy. God demands perfection. You and I are far from perfect. The moment you are born, you are already a sinner. The moment you begin to exist in your mother's womb, you already is a sinner. The Bible says we are conceived in sin. So how can we enter into the presence of God and be accepted by Him? Bear in mind that there will be punishment, because death is not the end. After death, there is hell. And hell is a place of great torment and fire. And God sees this is our destination. And God wants to intervene into this world and say, I don't want to see, I do not desire to see anyone end up in hell. And God does not see anyone tonight in this sanctuary to end up in hell. And that is the meaning of Christmas. God says, man cannot save himself. But I want to save mankind. But how to do it? God says, I will give you my only begotten Son. And so God sent the Lord Jesus Christ onto this earth. And Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Ghost, as you have witnessed by the message in song, as well as in play. The play was according to God's word. Jesus Christ took on the form of man, because in order to save man, another man must die. And it must not be just one man, because one man who dies can only save another man. And so Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, when he took on the form of man, fully God and fully man, so that when he died, his death was of infinite value, because it was God-man who died. Jesus Christ walked on this earth. He took on the form of a man. He came only to die for you and for me, because of God's love for us, because of Christ's love for us. And even when he was on earth, the generation who saw and witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ, they rejected him. They care only for money. They care only for healing of diseases. They care only for their stomachs. They care only for the things of this life, in this life, on this earth. How sad, how tragic. Don't think that this world is your home. Don't think that by the accumulation of the material things on this earth, you are living. You are not living. You are dying. You are slowly dying. You may die in comfort, that's all, but you're still dying. You know that. You know that the richest man on earth can never buy one second on this earth. If it is time for him to die, he dies. No way he can get himself out of it. No doctor can extend his life. You and I know that. Oh, man might think that he is the captain of his own destiny. He is not. He has no control on his birthday, and he has no control on his death day. A foolish man will only think that he is the captain of his own destiny. And he thinks that if he dies, he can get away from the hand of God and the judgment of God. The Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then after that, he stands before God for judgment. That's God's word. When you die and you leave this earth, you don't just simply disappear and escape God. Immediately after you die, you face God. You don't run away from God. And this is not a threat. This is the truth that God has revealed to us. It is a warning. Why? Because we want you to be in heaven, not in hell. We want you to stand before God, not as a sinner to be judged, but as a son, as a child of God, to be loved, to be accepted, to be received by God. That God will say to you, well done, my son and my daughter, come into my bosom. I receive you into my heart, receive you into my kingdom. A kingdom that has no end. This was God's love. And so God says to Jesus, will you come down to this earth and take on the form of a man? But it is not going to be the form of a king. It will be the form of a servant. And that's why Jesus was born in a manger. Because when he came, the world rejected him. The innkeeper says, no room. Well, we have a manger. You want it? This is yours. A manger was not a design in aircon comfort. It is smelly. It is dirty. You think animals are very fragrant? We just came up from Brisbane and they had some kind of a parade. And in the parade, they use real camels, real donkeys, and real sheep. When they walk by you from far, they look nice. The people were all very colorfully dressed. But they walk by you, oh, yeah, the smell is awful. The smell of sheep, the smell of donkey, the smell of camel, all mixed together, it's awful. And you have nowhere to go because they just walk one after the other right past you. And you think in the manger, not out in the open or enclosed, you think it is pristine, conditioned, very fragrant. All of us, without exception, I'm sure, was born in a place that is far better, smell nicer than that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we are sinners through and through. And here God's only begotten Son took on the form of a man, born in a manger, a humble manger, born to be a slave, a servant. When he could easily be the king, but he did not. Why? Because he did not come into this world to judge. Not yet. He will judge in his second coming. But in his first coming, he came as the Savior. And in order to be the Savior, he has to come as an infant. No one came other than those whom God had appointed, the three wise men and the shepherd, specially called by God to come to be there to witness the birth of God's only begotten Son. A most magnificent and stupendous event that God had prophesied thousands of years ago, the moment man fell into sin in the Garden of Eden. Even before God kicked man out of the Garden of Eden, God already gave us this message, this hope, this prophecy. The seed of a woman, and we know that it is the Virgin Mary. And he will come and he will bruise the head of the serpent. That means he came to die, to destroy death. That's why he came, to destroy death. That's why Jesus must come as the Savior first time, not as the judge, not yet. Because if he has come as the judge, all of us will be condemned. And he could have, but he did not. He says, I will first come as the Savior. But after this, I will come as the judge. But before I come as the judge, now is the time of salvation. As long as you are alive, the time of salvation is yours to embrace. Don't reject the love of God. Don't reject the love of God when he gave you his only begotten Son. You know what's it like when you give a gift and someone says no thank you to you? Do you feel hurt? Do you feel hurt when somebody says, I don't want that gift? You spend hours searching and finding and thinking and pondering how to get a gift for my friend, for my loved one. And then after taking all the time, you wrap it up very neatly and nicely, and then you presented it sweetly and nicely, kindly to your loved one. I don't care, I don't want. How would you feel? You feel hurt? Surely you will feel hurt. You love that person and you want to give the best to that person. You took the time to plan and to prepare this wonderful gift. God took thousands of years to prepare this gift. It was not an afterthought. Thousands of years. And then finally the Lord Jesus Christ came. Came to do what? For one thing, to die. To die on the cross. So that you and I may have salvation. So that you and I may find an answer to sin. So that you and I may not need to die and end up in hell. That is God's gift. God does not want you to die in your sin and end up in hell. That is God's love. Don't cast this love aside. Don't reject this love. You know how it hurts you when you reject this love. How do you think God feels when you reject his love? It was his only begotten Son. Not of many sons. Even if you got as many sons, it's still a son, isn't it? You have many children. You have a child to spare that you can just simply cast aside and let him die for an enemy? Of course not. And yet God has only one begotten Son. And then he says, I give him to all of you. I give him to you so that you will not need to die. He will die in your place. He will take the brunt of my wrath on him because of you. A world that is full of sinners, my enemies. Then I send my only begotten Son to die for you. Is your heart that hardened? Will your heart not be touched and softened and be moved? Is your pride so hard and so strong that you would spurn God's love? Tonight, God loves you in ways and means that you can experience in your own heart. For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son. What do we need to do? Jesus says that whosoever, doesn't matter who you are, whatever sins you have committed, that whosoever, how heinous your sins might be, You may even be a serial killer. It does not matter how heinous your sins are before God. God says, whosoever believeth in Him, believeth in Jesus Christ. How to believe in Jesus Christ? By faith. By crying to the Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledging that I am a sinner. I'm a sinner undone. I'm a sinner bound for hell, God. Please, forgive me. Save me by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. That's all it takes. And you have accepted what Jesus Christ has done for me by raising Him from the dead. Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the third day by God the Father. As a demonstration that God has accepted what His only begotten Son has done for anyone who would believe in Him. From the heart, no conditions attached. From the heart, genuinely, sincerely, with his whole heart, Lord, I surrender my life to you. I am bankrupt in my soul because of the sins in my life. Save me, help me, forgive me. Be my Lord and be my Savior. From the heart, that's how you believe. You confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, and God says, I will never cast you aside. I will receive it. Does not matter who you are. Because before God, God sees only one kind of people. Sinners in need of grace. Doesn't matter whether you are king, because before God you are no king. Doesn't matter whether you are CEO, before God you are no CEO. You may be CEO in your company before mankind, but not before God. Before God we are all sinners. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a sinner saved by grace. But you're still a sinner saved by grace. And that means your heart is filled with gratitude and thanksgiving to God for sending His only begotten Son to die for you. It is love. It was love. It will always be love. The love of God for you and for me. He sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you. And to whosoever believeth in Him, you should not perish. Should not perish. But what happens when a Christian dies? Did you not say, Pastor, that you're going to conduct a vigil service for a Christian? Yes. This earthly vessel, this earthen vessel, is not fit for heaven. That's why when it is time for a child of God to leave this world, this body is left behind. The real person, his soul, his spirit, goes to heaven in the presence of God immediately. If this body is good enough to be taken up to go to heaven, God would do that. God would easily do that. Physical death to the Christian is no longer physical death. It's like sleeping, because like sleeping, you will wake up. When sleeping, you are not dead, isn't it? Will you call a sleeping person dead? Of course not. That's why for the Christian, he's called sleeping. He's not dead, he's sleeping. Because he is in the presence of God. This body is only good for this earth. In heaven, God will give us a glorified body. And that's why the Bible here says, he will never perish. He will never end up in hell. He will never end up in the lake of fire. He will never be punished by God ever again. That's what it means. Don't you want to be delivered from hell, from the lake of fire, from punishment, from death? You're afraid of death? You should. All of us should be afraid of death. Unless you have found an answer to this death, this last terrible enemy of mankind. Unless you have found a solution. You have found a solution? The solution is in Jesus Christ. Because God raised Him from the dead. No other leader of any religion has ever been raised from the dead except Jesus Christ. 500 of them have seen it. Jesus Christ rose from the dead to tell us, I have defeated death for you, on your behalf. Will you come and accept me as your Lord and as your Savior? I am the way. I am the door. I am the one who will save you to the uttermost. You come in and you will never be rejected. All you need to do is to by faith and believe. And Jesus says you will have everlasting life. Everlasting life begins immediately in your heart while you are still on this earth in this body. Why? Because God wants you to remain on earth to serve Him in this body. Your everlasting life has already begun. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. You mean it is as simple as this? Yes. But you have to acknowledge the bankruptcy of your soul, of your spirit, that you cannot save yourself, or your education is useless. Everything on earth that you used to hang on to as some form of prestige, some form of distinction, you must cast them aside. You must be bankrupt in your soul before God. And then you cry to him, you beg God for mercy. And God says, I will never cast anyone away. Whosoever believeth in me, God says, I will accept. Why? Because I love you. Don't throw God's love away. Come to the Savior. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior tonight. This is Christmas, the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of mankind. Will you come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? We have many counselors who are prepared to explain more, to talk with you and to pray with you. If at the end of the service, you are touched by the message and you want to speak to someone, please come to the front. We have counselors who will advise you, who will pray with you, who will talk to you more. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, bless the truth of the message of the love of God in Jesus Christ to all our hearts, especially to those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. May thy Holy Spirit, O Lord, speak to their hearts, for salvation is of the Lord. And may thy grace and thy mercy touch such a heart that this person may turn to the Savior, realizing and acknowledging that in sin he dies and he ends up in hell, but in Christ he lives and he will be bound for heaven because Jesus Christ died on the cross for his sins. O Lord, may this be the experience of everyone whom you have brought into this sanctuary this night. And may the name of our Savior be exalted and magnified through the salvation of every lost souls this evening. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.